99. ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we try and get wisdom on the radio by means of asking Brother Johnny, the Thomas Edison of our time in oil and gas, a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and a man in charge of VersaBar in Houston and New Orleans, and of course the main office in Philo, Illinois, the center of the universe. Mike Ditka today from Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Very well.
Great to have you back on the program, Mike. Thank you so much. Johnny?
It's going to be a good day in Champaign. Good weather up in Chicago today, Mike.
It's beautiful right now, really. I know it's supposed to have some rain coming in, but right now it's gorgeous.
All right, we begin with the obvious.
Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center is where Jokhar Sarnaev remains under the care of physicians and under very heavy guard, along with a team of investigators standing by to ask him all the important questions that they would like to know about any further connections or any further plans the two suspects may have had, according to federal investigators. We're still awaiting word on the charges he will face, and it's possible he could be charged as soon as today and certainly still while he's here in the hospital.
All right, so over the weekend, the older brother is killed in a gun battle. It's the guy's throwing pressure cooker bombs at police. The younger guy's found in a boat. I think it was Saturday night. And so now you've got the guy, he's in serious condition in the hospital, heavily guarded. Not that he's going to escape, that people could get to him and kill him, I guess. But, John, how do you assess the whole weekend?
Well, it's a lot of it, and I get tired of it. It's a tragedy, and I'm glad they got the guy. I think there might be other people involved in it, or they're looking at that, because we don't want any more. We have our own marathon coming up, Stevie, this Saturday in Champaign,
yeah.
So we want to make sure that's safe, and I'm sure they're looking at that. But, you know, it's a shame, Mike, and...
You know, John, it is. I think the shock of it all and being able to not comprehend why and thinking now, I think people thinking they're going to get an answer to why or if there were more or what their other intent. I don't think they'll ever find that out. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but I just don't think they'll ever find this. This goes beyond any of my reasoning to understand how they can conceive doing this and knowing that they did it, that they could do no good except kill innocent people, period. It was going to do nothing else but that. I mean, I don't care what their goal was, that's all they could accomplish.
All right, explain to me, somebody, about the Miranda rights argument where we have not read him, you have the right.
And they shouldn't. They shouldn't. I mean, when they invoke a certain term, and I don't remember exactly what it was, I saw it last night, they don't have to read them the Miranda rights.
Right, it's for the public safety and concerns.
Right.
Now, the other question is, should he be an enemy combatant, or should he be tried like normal? If he's a terrorist, would you try him in a court of law, would you, if he's a terrorist?
He's a murderer. I mean, it was terrorism, but he's not... He's certainly not an enemy.
I don't know that this was an act of terror as much as it was. And just what I said earlier, their intent was to kill innocent people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's terror, then I guess it's terror. But that's exactly what they were trying to do. And they knew that that's what they would accomplish, that they would do nothing but that. And, they would be in the news for a long time. And that's basically eventually they'll get rid of this. They'll get over it. They'll get rid of this individual. And hopefully I hope they execute them, but that's up to them.
Well, Massachusetts doesn't have a death penalty. Federal charges could have the death penalty on federal charges, but not in state law in Massachusetts. It'd be life sentence is all it is. Well, there's reports that, you know, after this, the guy went back, the 19-year-old went back to his dormitory. He went to a party Wednesday, was hanging with the guys. Nobody noticed anything differently. Mike, how do you drop a backpack with a bomb next to an 8-year-old and then not have any worry? How do you do that?
Again, it goes beyond our reckoning or reasoning or understanding. I mean, these are sick, demented individuals, and they want to be a part of America. Like you said, they went back to the party to enjoy that part of it, to have a college life, to have a social life on campus, and then they want to go out and drop a couple bombs or place a couple bombs to kill innocent people, which they knew they would do. That's exactly what they were going to do. So what kind of individuals are this? Is a scum of the earth. These are people that don't deserve to live. In my opinion, they don't deserve a trial. I mean, he should be executed. And I would do it in a form that people understood, hey, if you do this against our country, this is what you're going to get.
Well, I'll tell you, there is, you know, we like our due process, and we sure don't want to start making mistakes. But, Mike, it sure does appeal to our senses. You turn this into a circus. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And I don't know whether it inspires more like this or has a deterrent to it. But it's something we go through, Stevie J.
Yeah.
I guess it's one of those. One thing I will say that it's got a unifying effect. We actually agree. We actually all agree that we don't want to blow up innocent people. So that's, I mean, that's there's not a whole lot we agree on.
Yeah, that's right. I think so. Everybody would look at this as negative. However, the chatter out there, Mike, is that the FBI was harassing these guys. And, you know, it was a setup from the beginning.
But who's that? Who's the chatter?
Well,
the chatter are the eggheads in life. They're the cop-outs. They're the people in the 60s. They're the anti-war people. I mean, that's who they are. They're going to be, that's going to be a part of our society in every generation. We're going to have this. These are the dissenters. These are the people who don't fit in, don't want to fit in. They want to be different. They're radicals. Fine. Let them be. But they mean nothing. There's no substance to their argument at all. None.
Well, and another thing, Mike, you know, we probably should look at how much credibility we give to those lunatics, because
absolutely.
That's one of the things that's wrong with our country now is we spend too much time. Oh, well, maybe they have a point. Well, get it. That's ridiculous.
They don't have a point. If they don't want to be here, get out of here.
I'm
it's not too complicated.
Right.
Yeah. But
you know, they talk about, well, they'll talk about the First, Second Amendment, but they blow over that when they want to blow over. So, you know, they don't have any rights either then if we can't uphold our amendments.
So it's an issue of giving credibility to the lunatic, giving credibility to people that bring up an argument and say, well, they kind of have a point. That we do that all the
time. Well, it's just like the Miranda rights thing. Right? You know, that's to protect us from abusing a suspect
absolutely.
Who may
absolutely.
Not be guilty. This guy's throwing pressure cookers and shooting at everything that moves. Come on. As Mike says, stop it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, I would like to put a pressure cooker, you know, where on this guy
well,
and see what happens.
And yet you don't know. I mean, you know, and then you have eyewitness accounts that they helped him with groceries, did all this. We humanize him. We empathize, sympathize what kind of life these poor boys had and all this stuff. I don't know if we're going to lose our edge on this, but if all you have to do is go to this 30 amputees and the three dead people and the 170, 180 injured in this thing, we're talking about backpack bombs that and how to not have a conscience or to be such at a jihadist level to think this is a good thing to do to kill the evil West. It is just, you're right, Mike, you can't comprehend it. There's no way. You just can't.
You can't rationalize or defend it. It doesn't matter what perspective you come from. That's the wrong thing to do.
All right, so do you think they'll be coming after him or will things soften up as we go?
Oh, no, they're going to. This guy's toast, but that's just a matter of what we have to watch. And
you're going to hear a lot of stuff.
For the next 6 months, it's going to be interesting. It's usually a circus, too, Mike. You know, they get viewers, then the ratings game comes in, and it's a part of our culture that I'm not very proud of.
This is going to take years. This whole thing's going to take years from the standpoint of, this public defender needs more time for the evidentiary thing. Is like a damn procedure.
But it should.
I agree. That's exactly.
So,
right.
That's you can if we want to be condescending and to give in to these people, fine. But it's totally wrong. I mean, you know, whether you our president said it very well. I mean, you got to treat it for what it is. You got to treat these people the way they deserve to be treated, and you got to bring them to justice and quick justice. And I think that's what we're going to do.
It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. You're on ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. Right back after these messages from Flooring Surfaces, Max Twin City Recycling, and Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. It's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny on the radio with us Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. Here's a new dynamic, Mike. You have the Lakers playing San Antonio. Kobe Bryant is injured. He's tweeting during the game, get the ball inside, get the ball inside. The coach of the Lakers is asked about it after the game that Kobe's... The players coaching, tweeting, injured during the game, Mike? What kind of new dynamic
is
this?
And I don't want to deflate Kobe's ego. Those guys don't pay one bit of attention to that. It's such a joke. It's such a plea for publicity and to be wanted and noticed and all that stuff. That's basically what it is, and that's all it is.
Well, it's interesting how technology moves ahead because you could be coaching from the living room now. Well, just like the guy who called Tiger on the bad drop.
I mean, the caddy, Stevie Williams, said he should have been just, or the guy that called in, yeah. You're sitting in your recliner with two beers, and you're getting a penalty stroke called in Tiger Woods. Where do we live? This is crazy.
Modern technology.
I mean, it really is. Hey, Mike, can you fix the Cubs? We carry the Cubs on our...
I know you guys do, and I want to say something. Got to get over it, guys. You got to get over it. It ain't going to get fixed. It won't be any better. Listen, I pull for them, too, as much as anybody. But I'm sorry. I mean, the pieces aren't there. When you look at it, it's not too hard to figure out.
Well, the good news, Mike, Steve and I, of course, we're Cub fans from way back, but we're also Cardinal fans and official Cardinal fans because Major League Baseball allows us, after 100 years of losing, you get grandfathered in. You get to actually have an official backup team. We picked the Cardinals, who are also on the stations every game. And although Steve was telling me they got issues, too.
Yeah, I got late inning bullpen issues the Cardinals do right now.
Oh, they'll be okay. They got a chance. but I'm sorry. The other way, I just don't see it.
See, 10 years ago, Johnny and I had this gem of an idea where we'd buy the Cubs and you'd be our manager. And as crazy as it sounds, you'd have sold tickets, Mike. We'd have sold out, and you definitely would have done better than they're doing now.
Mike would have been a great manager.
Like I said, I'm a fan, but I mean, I'm also a realist. I mean, guys, you look at it and you go, wow. I mean, if they get a lead, they lose a lead.
Yeah.
Or else they give up too many runs and they can't catch up. You know, they'll keep them close. I watched part of the game yesterday. Kid hit someone up 2-0. I didn't watch it, so then I look at the final score 4-2. I mean, that's going to be a lot of their games. They don't have the pitching that can stop anything.
Yeah. Oh, well, as Johnny says, the Cubs are a good team to follow because he doesn't have to worry about them after June. Yeah,
exactly. You can forget about them at the beginning of June.
All right. NBA playoffs, they're off and running. The favorites are winning all the games right now. Again, I kind of look up a little later when it gets a little more interesting. I don't think anybody's going to be the Miami Heat, though. I think they're the team, aren't they?
Well, they look like it to me. I don't know. You know, I look at San Antonio. I know they're a good team. I know Oklahoma City's a good team. There are some good teams out there, but I don't see anybody beating Miami.
Yeah, they're on it. Plus, they've kind of figured out how to play together.
Yeah.
And they've got the talent. But I think Oklahoma City or a team like that, it's always possible. But, boy, when you play seven games...
Yep.
You know what? That upset starts to diminish. The best team kind of wears you down.
The best usually comes to the top there. Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman was playing in the Heritage in the PGA this weekend in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And Charlie Hoffman was putting like I don't think I've ever seen. In his first 54 holes, Mike, he had 36. Mike, he had 21 putts on Saturday. You play 18 holes. He had 21 putts.
Yeah.
What's so hard about golf if you make all your putts?
Well, I think, boy, I tell you what, I'd love the guy who got a haircut. That's what I really like. And I'm honest, too. I mean, I don't care if his hair is thinning or not, but I mean, that's a terrible look for him, and he's a nice-looking man and a great golfer. I'm sorry. I just don't I don't buy into it. I don't know what his point is.
Have you ever had a kind of a streak of golf where you just make putts like that?
Well, No, not like that. But, I mean, that's incredible because, you know, I think the thing about that, he got in the zone. He just felt that he was going to make everyone. And sometimes when that happens, you know, even us amateurs, we can play a lot better. He just felt that he was going to make the – and he did.
Yeah.
I mean, and they weren't like – they didn't, like, just sneak in or – they were dead center.
Well, you know, you see that sometimes. Actually, I've seen that a number of times where particularly guys who you don't hear as much about win a tournament. I remember – watching Mike Stanley down in New Orleans, which you probably don't remember that name.
No.
Well, he won a PGA tournament, and he had his first nine greens, he one-putted and won the tournament. I mean, that's what happens. And he, just like that, Mike, in the back nine, he was putting well, too. If you're hitting your irons and then all of a sudden one day you start making putts like that, you're going to win.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the other day I played, and I think I had three pars and a birdie in a stretch of four holes, and I had four putts.
Wow. There you go.
So you figured it out.
Yeah, that's
right. So I didn't get on the other three greens.
And the other side of that coin is, if you have trouble putting, I tell you what, Tom Watson went through about 10 years, not that long ago, where he was hitting the ball better than anyone on tour, and he just had trouble putting. He was 2 and 3 putting the holes, and he couldn't get it over the hump. Mm. And I was watching him again one of these tournaments, and Mike, he was up there close enough to make putts that he could have won like Tiger, one of these guys that goes on a tear, but he couldn't get it in. So putting is the key. They say it's the most important stroke, but it's really the drive, because that's the ante. If you don't get out there to...
Right, you got to get in position, you got to hit it on the green, and the closer you hit it to the pin, the better chance you got to make it.
Right.
But making the putt affects the drive. I mean, if you miss the putt, the drive's affected a lot of times because you're so mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the next hole, absolutely.
It's
just
a real momentum game. You can really get on a roll, but it's fascinating to watch. Hoffman finished sixth. He had a 77 yesterday. First 3 days, though, it was a remarkable putting, and it's just unbelievable how many guys can win on the PGA. Graham McDowell actually won his first kind of blue-collar tournament. He was a U.S. Open champ, but he finally won a regular week-in, week-out. And he missed a cut at the Masters last week.
I mean, it's always wide open, but, Mike, have you ever seen it more competitive and professional?
No, I've never seen more talent either. Right. I mean, the ability of these guys, and we all play golf, we know how hard it is, they just can line it up, hit it, strike it pure almost every time.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's going to make a mistake, but you knew that. You know, that 21 putt thing was not going to hold up, John.
You just
can't do it. It can't hold up.
That's mathematically not going to happen. But, Stevie, I go back to Tiger Woods changed this whole game because he started, and I think when he changed his swing, one reason is because I think he was getting hurt. He couldn't hold up. But that guy started swinging the club, the driver particularly, just about as hard as you can swing it. And that's the new game. Yeah. Well, if you're not hitting that full swing driver, you're in trouble. And the guys who are hitting, they're in the game, and I think that spreads it around because you've got a full swing golf game going. It wasn't like that before Tiger Woods.
Easy
swings. It might have been in another era, but we were going through kind of a coasting 80%er deal, and this guy changed the whole game.
But you can talk about the equipment all you want to, and the equipment, I'm sure, has improved and makes a difference. But these guys hit the ball. Yeah. I mean, they hit a utility club out there 280 yards.
No, it's unbelievable. You're grabbing a 7-iron from 190, really?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So regardless of what, they're hitting the ball so much further than they did 30, 40 years ago.
Does that mean we're going to have 8,000-yard golf courses? I mean,
I think you're going to have something, because the way they're playing right now, it's just a matter of whether they hit it close to the pin. They're going to hit it on the green.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, of course, then you could say the same thing about the NBA. I think 10 feet's too short. I mean, the peach basket was 10 feet.
Well, I watch a little bit of some of those, and, boy, I tell you, they have no problem throwing that ball down from about 50 feet out either. They're pretty good about
that's it's amazing, that level of athleticism.
Terrific athletes. They're the best in the world. I mean, I used to play some basketball, but what I played was nothing like that.
Well, and yet now we're getting to the age where they actually truly might hurt themselves with their head on the rim. They might bang their...
Oh, absolutely.
They're
right about that. There's no question. Especially your arm or your elbow.
I know. Those are so up there. I mean, if you made it 11 feet, there'd be plenty of guys that would dunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. Well, guys, we're going to leave it there. We'll call you on Friday. It's always great to have these discussions. The world feels like a changed place. We're innocence lost, all that since 9/11, I guess. But... you know, we persevere. We're Americans. I've said many times, Mike, that the terrorists can kill me, but they can't make me be afraid.
And absolutely.
And I will not be afraid.
Never. I mean, I agree with you 100%. So we'll keep it. We'll get them all.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Mike, thank you again. We appreciate you.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Take care. God bless.
God bless you. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling, Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and by Flooring Surfaces, where the world is at your feet. It's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3.